It's a framework that we've been talking to many of our clients about, and it's fairly new in the, you know, the 15 years of consulting and coaching leaders. This framework is fairly new for us, and it is having a massive impact, and I want to share it with you in this episode. Leadership is the ability to facilitate movement in others toward a destination you can describe. I'm Russ Hill. I help build leaders. And this is the Culture Hacks Podcast.
Make sure you don't miss an episode. Tap on the follow, plus, or subscribe button, and you'll get two new episodes each week. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks Podcast with Russ Hill.
We were in Baltimore, it's been maybe three months ago, and we're with a Fortune 10 company with a division, a part of their organization that's the fastest growing, and we're with the senior leadership team of that part of this Fortune 10 company. And this is a part of the company we've been working with for a couple of years because there's so much writing on what they create and how they go to the market with it, and the who is on that team and how aligned they are and all of these sort and how they're working with the legacy business and all of that. And so this organization and some of the senior executives have asked us to focus our work on one particular project with this team. So we spent, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 hours with them. They were at a 2-day offsite in Baltimore, and we're walking out of the room and we huddle with the leader of this team, the senior leader, and we're giving her some feedback, which is what we do when we're, you know, we've been with an organization. We're typically with these leadership teams quarterly. And so we're wrapping up that meeting. We typically huddle with the senior leader, the boss, the CEO, the president, whoever it might be, for a few minutes. And so we're doing that with her. And we always ask them, are you interested in some feedback? And here are three things that we share with them. I'll give you a little bit. Well, actually, first, let me open up the podcast and then we'll dig into this. Welcome into the Culture Hacks Podcast. I am Russ Hill. I make my living coaching and consulting senior executive teams at some of the world's biggest companies. Find out more at LoneRockConsulting.com. I also invite you to connect with me on LinkedIn. You can look at the show notes. Just swipe up, down, whatever, and whatever app you're using, you'll see a link that you can tap on that will take you to LinkedIn. You can connect with me, and I'd love it if you sent me a direct message when you connect as well. Let me know where in the world you're at and how you found the show. I love reading those messages every week. Okay, what else was I going to say? My voice. So many of you know that I volunteer at church with the teenage boys. I've got two boys that are teenagers at home still, two kids that are grown and gone, and we won't talk about that, but because it makes me emotional. But I've done this for years, volunteering with teenagers. I it's so rewarding to me. And so we have an activity once a week, right? You've got church meetings on Sunday and then an activity once a week where it's a good chance for these boys to hang out with high quality other people their age, good influences, and so we work really hard on that. And then we go on a few trips, typically once a quarter or something like that. We go on big trips and get them off the grid. And I share stories. Maybe 4 or 5 episodes back, I talked about lessons from summer camp, and that was our quarterly activity at Lake Powell. Anyway, so last night our activity is racquetball and volleyball. You know what volleyball is, right? If you don't, Google it. It's amazing. We had so much fun with it. So we do this probably once every 2 months because these guys are way into racquetball and last night with volleyball. And I get into it, you guys. Like I try not to do anything in my life that I'm not 100% into or way passionate about. And I leave all the stuff that I'm kind of okay about to the side, right? Don't really have time for it. So I lost my voice. I'm telling you this because that's why I sound a little rough and scruffy, if you can tell. And I just want to acknowledge that. So I just get so into the racquetball games and volleyball, and I'm just screaming and yelling and egging people on and trash talking and just having a lot of fun. And so I woke up this morning with a weak voice. So that's what you're hearing. Okay. So Baltimore. So we're in the meeting in Baltimore, walking out, and we share three things with our clients as we're walking out the door. One is we ask them if they're open to feedback, and we share appreciative and constructive feedback about that particular day. Here are two or three things that you're just nailing, you're crushing. In the 3 hours where we were together with you, or the 5 hours, or the full day, or whatever it was, you need to know that these are things that we're seeing as observers and participants in the room that are strengths of yours. Keep leaning into this. And we give specific examples from that day. So that's appreciative feedback. Then we give some constructive feedback. And you hear some things you might do differently. And you might think about or be aware of or lean into more or avoid doing or whatever it might be. And we give very specific constructive feedback. And a lot of times that's very direct. And these leaders find a ton of value in that because so often they're not getting that. And they're not getting it from folks that interact with senior executives of large organizations that can tell them how they stack up to those people, right? So we put that under feedback. So appreciative and constructive feedback. That's the first thing we discuss. And by the way, this conversation at the end of our interaction, at the end of the day or the end of a meeting, is typically about 10, 15 minutes, super quick. We go into that. The second thing we share with them is who stood out to us. So if we were just in the room with their 10 direct reports or their leadership team, or maybe we were in the room with their expanded leadership team, again, think big companies. So 80 or 100 or whatever people that are in the room, or maybe we're at an expanded group. They got a bunch of people in the room. There are 200 or 800 people in the room. We share with this senior leader two or three people's names who stood out super strong. Like, wow, tell us about Lisa. Or, you know, we want to talk to you for a second about Mike. Here's why he stood out. Here's why she stood out. And then this happens probably 25% of the time, not every time. When we say people that stood out, we also sometimes pinpoint a negative aspect of that. Tell us about Frank. Like, because here's our thought. And so we share that as well. So it's feedback and then who stood out. And for instance, I was in a meeting. I'm just filtering this as I'm saying it. I was at a meeting recently, and one of the people that really stood out, I was asking the CEO in this case, why isn't she in? And then I gave a title. Why isn't she in this role? And he said, "That's really interesting that you mentioned that. I've been thinking about promoting her into that role." And my feedback to him was, why are you waiting? Like, move. Like, she's already acting. The way she's showing up, she's presenting herself, carrying herself, all of that. She's already in that role. Like, just give her the title and let's move. Give her the additional influence or authority or whatever you want to call it that comes with that role and go. And he's like, oh, that's so good. So sometimes that's how that conversation goes, right? And then the third area that we share is here are some things that we would suggest to you that you ought to be doing. Tactical, action-oriented things over the next 30 days based on the conversation we just heard. Do this, you might consider doing that. You might consider doing this, you might consider doing that. And then we give them a hug or shake their hand or fist bump or whatever it is, depending on our length of time working with them in a relationship. And then we race to the airport, right? So we're in that conversation in Baltimore doing that exact thing that I just shared with you. And in the constructive feedback with this particular executive, what we shared with her, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, but this is going to lead me to the framework that I want to introduce to you. This isn't the framework, but it's tied to it. So we reminded her of this spectrum. And again, I want you to think about a line, a horizontal line in your mind. And on the left side is discussion. On the right side is the word decision. Discussion on the left side of this spectrum and decision on the right side of the spectrum. And leaders fall somewhere in that spectrum, or this meeting that we're having today fall somewhere on there, and how I'm showing up as a leader. I'm either leaning too far into decision or discussion on the left side of the spectrum. Like, all we're doing is having discussion, like tons of discussion, but no decisions, no outputs. I'm not leading. And some leaders fall into that camp. In our terminology that we use in Lead in 30, we would call that a first leader. First leader is all about discussion. The second leader is all about decision. They lean way hard on the right side of that, and they make decisions often with no discussion. Like, hello, did you want to ask someone for their perspective or input or data or anything before you make that decision? And we call this the second leader in the terminology we use in Lead in 30. And there's more to their kind of personality profile or how they show up, their characteristics. But we'll just call it decision for right now. They lean way hard on that spectrum. And one of the big challenges that they deal with is they come off as a micromanager. They come off as cold. They come off as heavy handed, and they have no alignment. Like, nowhere around them is there any alignment. They're standing and saluting and people, like, you know, keeping their mouth shut because they don't want to tick that person off. But there's no alignment, and that typically leads to very little retention or engagement. So we're giving feedback to this leader and we're saying, hey, in today's meeting, we're often seeing this with you. You lean too far into first leader. You're too far into discussion. Like the meeting we just had, what was missing from those 3 hours, those 4 hours, however long the meeting was, I can't remember, was decisions. So you're doing an amazing job, an awesome job of getting people's perspective, of making sure that they've been heard, but the conversation could just swirl. And so at some point, and it depends on the topic, right? Whether it's 20 minutes of discussion or 2 hours of discussion or 2 months of discussion, for some big decisions, at some point you gotta move it from decision from discussion to decision. So the feedback we gave her was on that continuum, and I think I drew it on a sheet of paper real quick. Just, you know, straight line discussion on the left, decision on the right. We said and we put an X over by on that line over by discussion. We said you're too far over here. That's our feedback to you, is that from our perspective you're too far over here. You need to move more toward the middle or a little bit more toward decision. The team has been heard. You don't need to have any doubt about that. And this executive was like, you're totally right. Like, I'm feeling that. I sense it. I needed that push. You're right. I just want them to be bought in. I want all the right things, right? I want them. It's really important to me that they, all this stuff. And we said, great. Keep doing that. Keep making sure that they feel that way. But the leader needs to show up more. Like the leader of the room. Okay, thanks, team. Now this is the decision. Okay? So I give that to you to set up for this framework. So constantly in our work, we're trying to, and it's what I have so much energy around. In fact, if we had a camera on right now and you were to look at my whiteboard behind me, this massive full wall whiteboard that I've got, and you see it in videos that are on Lead in 30 or maybe I posted some on LinkedIn. I can't even remember a ways back, but you'll see this board behind me, and on the board right now are 6 words, and they've got circles around them. I've got drawn some arrows because I'm coming up with there's a particular topic that we don't have a framework around, and I'm just before I hit record on this podcast, I was spending about an hour just brainstorming on this particular topic and coming up. We need a framework on it. And so this is the first time I've thought about it. And I'm just writing ideas up and some way that we can present this that will help leaders understand this and get them to think about how they're showing up and whatever on this particular topic. So that's what we do for a living, right? We're constantly coming up with not a million frameworks, but enough to where it covers the challenges that they're dealing with. So the one I want to talk to you about today is all about this issue of discussion and decision and this issue of how you show up in meetings and how you show up in conversations in a way that creates alignment and in a way that gets buy-in and involvement, and in a way that makes sure that you're on the sweet spot on that continuum of discussion and decision. And so this is something that, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, it's why I needed to help found our own firm. Because I needed the ability. Remember, I've talked to you about my need to create. That when I worked at a previous firm, there were so many wonderful things that opened up so many opportunities for me. But I got to a place where just because of the nature of where that organization was, I didn't have the ability to create. And because they didn't want any new frameworks, they didn't want any new models, and that was probably actually right for them, maybe, I don't know, in their effort to scale and with private equity coming in. And so I couldn't create, and I felt like total handcuffs, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like the models we have, the framework are amazing, they're unbelievable, but we need additional ones. Like the market's shifting, and we're seeing new needs, and we're getting deeper into these relationships, so we need to be able to come up with it. So I discovered that I valued that. I valued the ability to create, and I was in an environment where I couldn't do that. And so I'm so fortunate that I walked up to the edge of that cliff and jumped, and actually made that jump, because it opened up the ability to create, which then led to multiple frameworks. My colleagues, the other co-founders of our firm have come up with, as we work together and we do what I've got on my whiteboard, and we're doing that separately, and we're building out our team, and it's getting larger and larger as we add to that team, and we've got multiple people who are doing that, thinking about that, and then we present it to each other, and we beat it up, and we refine it, and then we present it to a client, and then they react to it this way, and we realize, oh no, that actually sucked, throw it out, or wow, there's something to it, but they made it better. And we just keep ideating and iterating, right? And coming up with better. And so we've been able to create and come up with some amazing frameworks. The whole first leader, second leader, third leader thing that I was just talking about is part of that. And there's so many more. Here's one, and I'm going to give you three words. And the order of these words is incredibly intentional. And when done in this order, create alignment. They create accountability and ownership. They create involvement. And they create the best decisions possible. And it's just three simple words in this order. Listen, position, listen. That's the framework. Listen, position, listen. Now, just from the abstract, that doesn't sound crazy good, but let me walk you through it. And then you're going to see the power of it. So I've got a decision to make. And you can apply this. We primarily teach this, pretty much exclusively teach this to executives in their leadership roles of organizations, right? But you could apply this personally too. So much power in it. And it's this. So I need to make a decision about anything. The very first thing I'm going to do is listen. And we're flying in numerous people in various industries related to ours or in ours, and the space we live in, and they work for various organizations, are all over the map, and we're people whose opinions we respect, and we're flying them into a place that we rented in the Western U.S. in the next few weeks, and what we're going to present them with is based on us listening to the market for the last 2 years. So in the space that we work with and developing and coaching senior executives and helping leaders create alignment throughout their organizations and create high-performing teams, we've learned a whole bunch. We've seen a bunch. We've been listening to the market. And we are prepared to take a position. So in that meeting that we're flying these people in for, kind of a brainstorming a mastermind group, if you will. We're going to take a position. We spent a couple of hours yesterday as the founders of our firm. What is that position? And we went through it and we refined it and simplified it and made it concise. So we listen to the market. We listen to the team in the meeting. We listen to whomever we need to. We go get data. We research it. Listening takes numerous forms depending on the environment, the setting, the group, the decision you need to make, all of that, right? You're listening. Before I changed jobs and before I, at each point that I've changed industries or left this company or firm or whatever, made important decisions, this is the process. Listen. It's the first thing you do. So I'm running a meeting. I go and I say, team, we're here today to talk about this topic. This is on the agenda. I love your input. The very first thing I do, the order is incredibly important. The very first thing I do is listen. I have not taken a position. Okay? So I'm listening. Now, the listening could take the form of conversations with the leaders or the team offline first, and then I come in the meeting and I start the meeting taking a position because I've already done the listening. And then people in the room will acknowledge that, and they've had that experience with me. They're going to nod their head and go, yeah, you have been listening. You asked for my perspective, or yeah, you did do that meeting, or yep, you did bring that up in our one-on-one, or you called me about that, or you asked me to email you that data. I have listened. So you've got to create, before you take a position, you've got to create the experience of listening. So you listen. And then when you've heard some input and when you've got and you feel like, OK, the people in the room feel like they've been heard, the people on the team, the people in my life, whatever it is, I've done a good amount of listening. You got to go on gut and experience and wisdom and kind of gauge the group on this. Everybody, okay, good. This has been great. Anything else you'd add real quick? Yeah, this, that, and the other. Okay, and you're looking at body language if you're in the room or virtual, whatever. You're sensing that. And you don't go forever in that phase. You go until you kind of hear their initial take and the group's been heard. You what you don't do is you don't listen to like one person, then you go to position. No. You understand what the point here. So you listen. And then you take a position. What does that sound like? Hey, team. So great discussion. After listening to you all and doing some research on this and whatever, I'm leaning toward this. I'm thinking we should do that. And the word, man, it was so powerful. We've been coaching this executive that just changed jobs, just became the CEO of this billion-dollar company with 1,000 employees, and we were in the room with him recently in the last few weeks in the Midwest, and he's standing at the front of the room, and he's taking a position, and he used this word. We coach him on it. We've been coaching on him. It's so fun to watch him use it and how powerful it was. He said, I am movable. You all, I'm going to take a position on this. Here's where I think we should go as a company. This is a really important strategic conversation with nearly 100 people in the room, and he's 100 leaders. And he said, I'm going to take a position on this. I am movable. And I was sitting in the back of the room with our team going, gosh, that's so freaking powerful for him to say that and actually mean it. It wasn't a throwaway line. He didn't deliver it as a throwaway. It was, I'm movable on this. And I want to get your take. So here's the next step, right? The third part of this framework is after you take the position, I'm leaning this way. I think that this is how we ought to do it, or this is the solution I'm favoring right now. You might consider using that word movable. I'm movable on this, depending on how movable you are. If it's early in the discussion, you ought to be movable. And then you say, so react to that. How do you react to that? What are your thoughts? Why? Because you're signaling to the team, you've got one final shot. Like I'm open to you making the case. What am I not considering? What have I not thought about? What's the cost of us going that direction? What's the impact of that decision? What are your fears? What concerns do you have? What obstacles do you see? Right? So you all, this is the way that I'm leaning. This is how the decision that I'm leaning toward, or the direction I'm leaning toward. React to that. I want to hear your concerns, your observations, your thoughts. And you're going to hear from members of the team who go, totally right decision. Like, that's exactly right. Do that. And they're going to throw in a fact or two, or a story, or an example, or some data to help back up their opinion. And then there's going to be one or two or 10 people in the room, and whatever that actually looks like. And they're going to say, nah, that's not the right. No, I'm not so sure about that. Or have you considered this? Or have you considered that? Or, oh my gosh, if you do that, we're going to lose this. Or it's going to impact that. And then you validate that, right? So again, I'm going to go to the framework one more time with you. Listen. Position. Listen. Those three words, that simple framework, is the result of years of watching teams not be aligned, years of sitting in the room and going, what would it take? What do we need to do to help this leader create greater alignment? Years of that and watching what works and doesn't work. And how can we take all of that and boil it down to the most simple form to teach to someone where they can instantly grasp, oh, that's what I should do. That's what led us to listen, position, listen. So we've used that for like the last year, maybe two. I don't know. Yeah, I think we started leaning into it quite a bit a year ago. It's been stinking incredible to watch these senior executives go, oh, like, that's it. I'm not doing that effectively. That's what I need to be. Oh, my gosh. And it's so intuitive and so repeatable and so basic that you hear him do it all the time. Listen, position, listen. Listen, position, listen. Yep, that's the way. We call it the third leader. The third leader knows how to build alignment. It's one of the things they do. They create clarity, they build alignment, and they generate movement. Those are the three things that they do exceptionally well. And the third leader is the leader that gets promoted. The third leader is the leader who builds companies, who scales things, who creates engagement. They have a highly engaged team, the highly retained team, all of that. And they do it by creating clarity, alignment, movement. And this, what I'm talking to you about in this episode, is under the category of alignment. This is part of the process that you create alignment around as you listen, position, listen. And so I haven't dug into that in an episode. And as I was writing down some things that, you know, what are some takeaways, some observations, some experiences lately that I need to be sharing in these episodes? And I thought, oh my gosh, Russ, you got to share with them. Listen, position, listen. So here's what I need you to do. Based on the value of what we just shared with you, I just need like a money order or a Venmo pay. I'm just kidding with you. You got that for free, man. That's incredible. At least to me. These executives we work with are paying a lot of money for us to share things like that. Now, we help them with their particular scenario. We don't just share the framework and then dip and let you get back on the keep going on the treadmill or driving wherever you're going or whatever. We actually dig in and help them with specific issues on that. And then we watch them in the room and let them know, hey, here's where you didn't spend enough time on that, or you went too quickly to this, or whatever else it might be. Where with you, I'm just giving you the framework and wishing you the best, right? But I hope that's valuable. Listen, position, listen. When I'm creating alignment in my life, that's what I'm doing. When I'm creating ownership and engagement, that's what I'm doing. We were on a, well, you know what? I'll dig deeper into this in another episode, but we were in a meeting recently, like real recent, but I got to protect these companies we work with and identities and make sure that nobody knows exactly who I'm talking about. But we were in a meeting recently and the topic of employee engagement came up. This is a very large organization and they're struggling, really struggling with engagement. And one of the leaders said, you know, on as far as engagement, it's like there's a million things you could do. Just do something. Just do it. You could do lots of things and create engagement. And I'm thinking, actually, that's not true. It's actually not what leads to employee engagement. It is not about the potluck. It is not about the poster campaign. It is not about the swag. Those things have value. Those things have their place. I'm not diminishing them. But employee engagement, retention comes from somebody who feels like before you made a decision, You listened. And then I knew which way you were leaning because you vocalized the position you were leaning toward or you were taking. And then you know what you did? You gave me a chance to speak up again because you listened again before you made the decision. That's engagement. All right, with that, I hope you're all doing super well. If this episode could be valuable for somebody else you're thinking about right now in your company, in your organization, another leader, a peer, a former colleague, whatever, will you just click on, tap on the share button, send them the link, or post this on social media, LinkedIn somewhere, whatever it might be, and share it. That's how this episode grows. And all I care about, you guys, there's no sponsors in these episodes. That's not the path ever. It's just bringing value. And the reward for me, the payment for this is impact. That knowing that there's somebody in some part of the world, in some organization, somebody who's trying to more effectively lead, and that they got some value out of it. And they're better equipped after spending the last 30 minutes listening to this. So would you text them the link? Would you post it somewhere, share it, if you think there's someone who could get value from it? Thanks so much. I'll talk to you in the next episode of the Culture Hacks podcast.
Who do you know that could benefit from listening to this episode? Tap on the share button and text the link to a friend or colleague, or write a post on LinkedIn and tag Russ. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks podcast with Russ Hill.